Our scripture reading tonight is taken from Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
You'll know that my house, which we moved into in August, is out to get me. The sinks, we have two bathrooms and three sinks. Three out of the four sinks in my house all like flooded in 1 week. So yeah, it was fun. So we were lucky to do that. Today we managed to take on the outside and put out a little Christmas tree on the out, like on our front porch, and a little blow up Olaf snowman. So we're that family. But that's it. Like, we were lucky to get that much done. There's something to me, and maybe you find this too, but there's something magical about the Christmas season. And specifically, there's something about lights and the appearance of light that seems to show that off, right? That seems to just bring that to the front of our attention even more. So there's something about lights that signal the beginning of Christmas. And so we see, like, in storefronts and down main streets on towns, like Waterdown, we see lights go up and trees, and it's as if together we're collectively saying, Christmas is here. The stores are also collectively saying, come and spend your money here, but for most of us, it's the beginning of the Christmas season. Some of my favorite memories, though, and I got thinking about this over the last few weeks, some of my favorite memories about Christmas aren't of the lights, they're actually of when the lights have gone out. So for example, a few years ago, Connie and I, this was before we were married, while we were still in school in the States, we drove up for Christmas, and it was the first Christmas that Connie spent with my family, and we got here, it was the year of the massive ice storm, right? And so we got here, I was supposed to be preaching Christmas Eve at a church up north, and like, services were canceled, stores were closed, lights went out, power was out, like the power went out and stayed out. And it was a special time. Like, I remember this fondly. There was no power, there were no lights, so we lit candles when it got dark, which, you know, like in December is most of the day. There was no oven, so we ate cold snacks and cheeses and crackers and as much chocolate as we could find in the house. There was no way to make hot drinks, which in my family is really important. Like, this is like one of the most important things at Christmas for my family ever since I was a kid. Like, when we went through exams, my siblings and I, when we were all done, we would have hot drinks to kind of celebrate the beginning of Christmas and celebrate being done with exams. So what we did that year is we took a little tea light and made mulled wine over a little tea light in a fondue set, and it worked a little bit. But I never really realized how dark it got until the years when the lights went out. And I never really realized how much I relied on the power until it was gone. At the darkest time of the year, we light candles in our homes. Right, we put up Christmas trees, we decorate the outside of our doorways and windows and homes as if we're inviting light into like the darkest season. We bring light into our lives to light up the darkness. At Christmas, and for now thousands of years, Christians have celebrated the birth of Jesus. And Jesus was described as light of the world. In the Bible, there's an account of Jesus' life, and it's by a guy named John, and he starts his story like this. These are the words you heard read. It said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All you need to know here, there's a lot going on. John's talking about Jesus. in the beginning, Jesus was with God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing that has been made has been made. In him was life, and this is what is important for us tonight. In him was life, and that life was the light of all humankind. John continues his letter to say this, or his account of Jesus' life in this way. He says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now that may or may not sound significant to you, because really what's happening is we're being dropped into the middle of a story that at this point has been spanning for thousands of years. How many of you have watched The Mandalorian? You bought into Disney Plus? Yes, me too. On day one, I was part of the crash. So you can't watch The Mandalorian and have any clue who Baby Yoda is unless you've watched at least the first three, or the good three, Star Wars movies, right? Like, you just have no clue of what's going on. Kind of the same thing. At the very beginning of the story of the Bible, there's a man named Abraham. We're backing up now thousands of years. And God calls this man named Abraham and promises him, he says, your name is going to be great. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to make you into a nation. I'm going to use you and your people, your descendants, to bless the world. And the promise is made from God. You say, okay, but for Abraham, this is a very strange promise because, for one, Abraham doesn't have any kids. And for two, Abraham is really, really old, and his wife, too, is far beyond childbearing age. And so this is a bold promise from God to Abraham, but Abraham believes. And so what happens is Abraham and Sarah have children, and they become known as the people of Israel, and Israel goes through this journey with God. And the journey with God looks a lot like that first call to Abraham. God calls Israel to follow him. And for a while, things look good. For a while, they're able to do it. They kind of, yep, we're in it. And they follow God. They believe in God, and things look good. And then they start looking around themselves and seeing other nations and maybe other gods and other things that are worth, or that they think are worth worshiping. And so what happens to Israel is they become distracted, and then they eventually start wandering away from God and find themselves not believing in the God who initially called them. This is the cycle over and over again. God calls Israel. They are great for a little while, for a season, and then they wander, and then they find themselves not believing any longer. And that cycle goes over and over and over again until it gets so bad, things get so bad for Israel, that a guy named Isaiah describes what is going to happen to them like this. He says, and this is just sad, he says, depressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged and look upward. They will curse their God, or their king and their God. Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. You see, for generation after generation, Israel, the people of Israel, the people of God, can't seem to fix things for themselves. Right? They can't seem to lift themselves up out of this cycle of obedience for a season and then disobedience, right? Belief for a season and then unbelief, life for a season and then death for a season. So for years, like, this happens over and over again, and they wait and they long for a Savior who was promised to them, for someone who could show up and actually fix things, for someone who would show up and like once and for all wipe out the cycle of belief and unbelief, obedience and disbelief, and lead them into a new way of living. The same guy, Isaiah, who promised and kind of foretold their destruction and darkness, also had this to say. He said, but there's hope. There's hope for the people of Israel, is that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And he goes on to say, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And Isaiah goes on to describe some of the attributes and names of this person. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I want you for a minute, just if you would, imagine waiting in darkness. Imagine waiting in the darkness of night, for example, and not knowing when or even if the sun will rise. That's why Jesus' birth was so significant for the people of Israel. It was something that God had planned from a long, long time ago and promised for years, and in fact, generation after generation, that this will happen. Of people waiting in darkness, longing for a Messiah that is like a Savior, someone who's going to come and rescue them, and not knowing exactly when that person or even if that person would come. My guess, though, is that you don't need to imagine what it's like to wait in some form of darkness without knowing whether light is going to come. You see, the significance of Jesus' birth isn't just in a story from a long, long time ago in a faraway land. It's significant because Jesus' birth brought and has the capacity to bring light into the darkest places of your life. Because if you're honest, if I'm honest, there are some parts of our lives that need to experience light and life in a new way. In him, John says, was life. And that life was the light of all mankind, all humankind, all the world. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus' birth isn't just for Christians. It's not just for people who find themselves in church and call themselves a follower of Jesus. Jesus' birth was and is for the whole world, for all people. Jesus put it this way when he was asked, why did you come? What are you doing? Like, what are you about? He said, the healthy don't need a doctor. If you're healthy, you don't go to the doctor. Only the sick people need a doctor. He didn't say it exactly like this. He says, and this is, now I'm quoting, he says, I haven't come to call the righteous, but to call sinners. Now, you may not like the language of sin and sinners. You may kind of push back against that or against that being labeled that. So let me just put it this way, because I think this is the heart of what Jesus is saying. Jesus has come for the broken, for those who feel like they're the last person on earth that God could or would ever love. For people who don't know exactly what it means or where they belong. For those who have questions, for those who have doubts, for those who don't quite know what to believe. He came to bring light into our darkness so that we could know what it means to be fully alive. And maybe you're sitting there and you want to experience that kind of life, maybe for a new time or in a new way or for a first time. And I would love to be the first person to invite you to know the life that comes with knowing Jesus. Because the reality is, there's no darkness that exists in your life, in my life, in the world, that Jesus can't bring light and life into. There's no darkness that Jesus can't and won't overcome. There's nothing that you've done or could do or could possibly think of doing that would put you out of the reach of a God who loves you. And on Christmas, that's what we celebrate. A baby who was born to bring life into the world. And that's the good news for people like you and people like me. At Christmas. Let's pray. God, thanks that you love us, and thanks that you're with us. Thanks that the hope of following Jesus isn't like this ascent up a mountain where we struggle and we work and we try our hardest and we do our best only to feel like we constantly fall short. Like the promise of Christmas is that God came down the mountain to us. That God came to the world as a baby born in a manger to live a human life, to know human suffering, to know human experience, so that we could know that we're loved. And God, I got to think that there are people here who need to hear that maybe again tonight and maybe even for a first time, that there's a God who loves them, regardless of where they find themselves or regardless of what they've done or what they think they've done or who they think they are. There's a God who is very close and present to us. And so this Christmas, I pray that we would slow down, and I pray that we would allow Jesus, the light of your life, to bring life into ours. So God, would you send us from this place even tonight? We pray boldly, change people with a view for the world. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.